Today on Laura Lynn and Friends.
The silence of vitamin D by government and government advisors is frightening. Medical journals have also been silent on the issue, and I don't know why.
Hello, and happy Friday to you. It's kind of a spooky, eerie Friday, isn't it? Ooh, looks like there should be, you know, someone like Dracula going around in the background. Well, I don't know if we have Dracula, but we have a whole bunch of crazy things going on in the world. And I'm really happy to be here with you today. Before we bring an incredible doctor on, because we're going to be talking about how to keep ourselves safe, there is so much misinformation. There is a lack of information that's able to be shared. People are not talking about the most important things that we need to know in the mainstream media right now. It is a shocking season. This is an episode that I think we will write about for many generations to come. It's a season where we're all kind of bringing our kids close and we're talking to them, hopefully. And we're, in some cases, trying to undo some of the indoctrination that's been going on, telling our children all kinds of things that are not true, not giving them the correct facts. Our friends don't know the facts. Our family members don't know the facts. What's happening right now? It's dividing families. And one of my encouragements last Saturday, when I was at the huge rally downtown Vancouver and had the privilege and honor of speaking, one of the things that I encouraged everybody is to try your very best not to let the division that is being sown right now, not to just give it room. We need to understand that some of our loved ones are going to make completely different decisions than we do. Some of us will get the vaccination, as it's so-called, the gene therapy shot. It's not a true vaccination, and some of us will not. I will not be getting it. I'm very grateful that at this point, all my children, my husband, my father, those in my very tight circle, I've spoken extensively to my brother as well, and I pray and I hope that they will understand. And what I do is I just kind of share some facts. There's all kinds of information online. Some of the stuff that I can't even really talk about here because I don't want Facebook to knock me off, but there's all kinds of stuff. You can get a hold of it. You Google. Now, there's a thing called DuckDuckGo, right? So if you're in Google in that URL, you push DuckDuckGo. Just do it, even if it sounds weird. It is weird. I don't know why they call it DuckDuckGo. But once you go onto DuckDuckGo, DuckDuckGo is a search engine that will find information for you. Sometimes the stuff that is not put onto, you know, Chrome or Safari, some of the more, you know, the search engines that we're more used to, DuckDuckGo will help you to do that. And so I'm going to see then if I can share this thing on today. Maxime Bernier is in the news. But first of all, can I tell you that there's a few amazing things you can do this weekend? First of all, you can, if you're looking to go to a service like we did last weekend down at the Olympic Plaza, Pastor Terrence Richmond will be having a worship service at 1 p.m. 1 p.m. this coming up Sunday, and they have just got a fantastic church. If you were there, you just, you know, you fell in love with this guy and with the power of his word and his preaching. Just an amazing group. And he has come, he started a church here in the Vancouver area. And so he is fantastic. And then our beloved Pastor Ali. Pastor Ali does his church up at the art gallery at 10 a.m. You can't miss them. They're right there. They've got their instruments, their band, everything. So that's a great place. Pastor Giulio Gabelli, he has his church in Coquitlam, Westside Community Church. Westwood Community Church. And so if you Google Westwood Community Church, I think they're there for about 10 o'clock. But if you Google, you will find out from their website. So those are some amazing things you can do. I will be heading off to Regina and Saskatoon this weekend to be there with Maxime Bernier. And that is going to be a whole lot of fun. I think that we do have a poster for that. Is there two? Yeah. So, well, one is for Saturday, and that's for Regina. And then another one is for
Sunday. I have two for Sunday
somehow. Oh, well, just shove them up. Okay. Is it the same one?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Yep. Go ahead then. We'll have a look. And so Sunday, May 9th at Vimy Memorial in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Fantastic. I love it. And then, so we'll also be in Regina, and I'll put on my Facebook where we'll be if you happen, I know it's someplace great. I don't have it offhand. That's not too good, but Regina is a small place. Drive around, you'll find us. So those are some really cool things that are happening. Now, as far as what I'd like to show you is the big battle is continuing now. There's an article out about Maxime Bernier being, he's uttered racist slur about Jagmeet Singh, according to a statement filed in court. So let me tell you that this is a complete smear job going on by CBC. CBC hates Maxime Bernier. Do you know why? Because Maxime Bernier realizes that the CBC needs to be defunded. How do they get all of their dollars? They get a whole load, you know, a bucket full, a barrel full of millions of dollars to operate. And what do? They tell their net left-wing narrative. They slime anybody who has a different perspective than them in life. And when Maxime Bernier came out of the hop saying, you know, we need to defund you. It's why are we? Do you want to pay for CBC? Do you want to pay out of your tax dollars for CBC? When's the last time that you watched CBC without rolling your eyes? Right? At the misinformation, the lack of character in their presentation, the lack of truth, the lack of facts, right? That's what we're dealing with. So understand, when articles like this come out, this is about smearing Maxime Bernier, all right? And so Warren Kinsella, I'm briefly going to just go back to what happened here. When Maxime Bernier left the Conservative Party of Canada, what happened is that Warren Kinsella was hired. Until this article, I have always heard, because you see, I've always heard that he was hired by the Conservative Party of Canada. That has been the narrative. And if you'll remember at that time, Andrew Scheer, he would neither deny it nor confirm it. To me, that's guilt. Right? If I'm not guilty of something, I'm going to go, no, that's not true. I never did a thing. We don't know anything about this. But in this article, it's now basically saying that it was a lawyer associated with the party that hired Warren Kinsella. Warren Kinsella made it his daily focus to destroy Maxime Bernier. And we have a clip, right, of him talking. So I'll let you listen really carefully to what Warren Kinsella's own words said about what and how he wanted to treat Maxime.
Go and be nasty, be mean, get me content. I'm leaving this afternoon. All of you are ordered to leave here early tomorrow. Okay? But the worm assignment stuff continues on the weekend. If you see somebody stumble on the weekend, your job is to come down from the hills with your gun and shoot them. That's what you do. So I want the hatred you have for Maxime Bernier to wash over you as a purifying force. There's nobody in the country doing what we're doing to Max Bernier. There's nobody else doing it. It's the people in this room. So do it. We are the War Room Company. We have to start acting like one. Okay? We got to. At some point, Hamish, I let him know last night, that I'm not going to be in the legislature today, but
Hamish Marshall
Walsh
is who
are going to
mentioned.
Say on Cactus, what are these guys doing for us?
Wow. I hope you could hear that. If you're on video, you can always replay it. Let the hatred of Maxime Bernier wash over you as a purifying force. There's no one else, he says, there's no one else doing this to Maxime Bernier except us. This is our war room. Let the hatred for him wash over you like a purifying force. Go after this man, destroy him, come down the hills with your guns and shoot. I mean, if Maxime were to say these words about anyone else, right? Oh, CBC would just be putting it out there like crazy. Now, when all of this came to light that the Daisy Group had done this, then we had Warren Kinsella falling completely apart at one point. He was so sorry. He said, I've hurt the people I love. I shouldn't have done this. I've hurt people, you know, and he fell like apart when he got busted. And I guess his whole team was upset because he looked like an idiot. Somehow this guy continues to keep on writing for, you know, national publications and getting his voice out there. You know, he's a nasty piece of work. And may God deal with your soul, you lying snake. You are the worst kind of vermin to just go out there and attack other people and trying to find basically baseless, unfounded things. And this is personal to me because I was running as a candidate for the People's Party of Canada when they were calling all of us racists. And if you want to go back to my candidacy, you'll see that my entire, group, we had people of every color. The guy that was helping me with my campaign coordinator, was a Sikh. The Chinese, the Filipinos, all of them, they adored me. They adored Maxime Bernier. I've hung out with him numerous times. There's not a racist bone in his body. He is for the people. He's for freedom. So now, as this begins to come out, and we begin to see, you know, what is laid out as Maxime is rightfully suing Warren Kinsella, it's going to be very interesting. Very, very interesting. Now, was there something else that we were going to show before we went to the doctor today?
Well, yeah, Bill C-10, Derek Sloan.
Oh, Bill C-10. So if we pull up this thing on Bill C-10, the Liberals' new proposed amendment to Bill C-10 doesn't address free speech concerns. We have a pretty big problem. We are being silenced on every side. And what is now happening is that this bill, Bill C-10, I think it's what it is Trudeau's way of trying to make sure that none of us are going to be able to have the freedom to just talk openly. And they're trying to silence people like myself that are going to be putting up cat videos pretty soon, because that's all that'll be allowed, and put up our dog videos. And you know, in this, you know, they're kind of coming back and forth. Oh, it's too harsh. You can't. This is censorship. So then they come back with something else, and it's not nearly at all. And I don't know why, but I can't seem to find that article that I just had here. It's like it disappeared off this page as we were putting it up. Oh, here it is. They moved it. That's what they did. They moved stuff. So Liberals new proposed. So basically the amendment proposed at the Heritage Committee meeting Thursday evening would allow the CRTC to issue orders relating to discoverability, the ability to force social media platforms to show a certain amount of Canadian content to users. Well, that's perfectly fine with me because I do lots of Canadian content. University of Ottawa law professor Michael Geist said the amendment doesn't address concerns about the bill infringing on free expression that have emerged in recent weeks. This speaks to the CRTC imposing conditions on what gets prioritized or promoted in user feeds. I believe that clearly involves speech regulation. we're already finding that our voices are being subverted. I had a lady call me yesterday, and when she was trying to watch the replay of my show yesterday, it was doing that circle thing. And she thought, well, maybe my internet's back. So she got her daughter, can you look up Laura Lynn's show? They get it, and it's doing the circle. Are any of you experiencing that as well? I mean, that is just so wrong, right? Like, I'm pretty sure that all of these tech people, they have the ability to just, you know, they put you at the bottom of the barrel so that all these other shows, you know, are going and playing well, and then yours is, and it gets frustrating, and then people, maybe they go to what's easier to play. When the truth is not there, the truth is here. The truth is with those like myself, and there are now a few real warriors putting stuff out there. Did you hear yesterday that Rebel News have had their account PayPal, right? Is now refusing to work with them. PayPal. Why is this? Rebel News reports the news, has reporters all over the country showing you what CBC, CTV, and Global will not show you. Telling the truth about things. So we're in a war. We need to support those that are on the front lines. But one of the funnest things, and I don't think we even mentioned, on May 16th, this is what I am looking forward to most right now. We are going to have our Freedom Worship Rally, where we are in protest of the churches being shut down here in British Columbia. And I have to say, somebody recently said to me, well, I'm no longer praying for the churches to open. And I said, what? And he goes, yeah, actually, we've kind of discovered a whole new way to do church. A lot of churches are, you know, taking it to the streets. They're taking it to their parking lots. The weather's good. Maybe this is what was intended. People, because of this persecution, are beginning to wake up and go, whoa, like, you know, we have a really big problem here. So they're actually looking for God. People are afraid. All the fear-mongering. Constant, nothing but fear-mongering over the cases, the deaths, you know, that's going on with COVID. And if you did not see my interview with Dr. Lee Merritt, please go and see it. You can see it on DLive still, right? It's also up on Rumble. And I tried to find myself on Rumble, and it worked today. Rumble.com/Laura Lynn. It got me there. So I think that it's safe to find it there. My stuff is also on BitChute. We're on Periscope, working towards Odyssey, I think.
It is on Odyssey.
It's on Odyssey, okay. So there's a lot of different places now that we're beginning to find. My website is lauralyn.tv. If you do not see me for a season, as I was gone last week, and it kind of taught me a few things. I was gone from Facebook, and I have a whole bunch of people going, well, where were you? We couldn't find you. I was so sad. I was waiting. I needed my Laura Lynn fix. I think that's so sweet and very cute, and thank you for needing a fix. But hey, man, it's like you're not hearing me. LauraLynn.tv. If you go there, you'll be able to see the shows that I continue to do when I'm not on this platform. Whatever you're watching me on, if I'm not here, I'm doing a show. We cannot afford not to be doing and putting out the work and doing what it takes to get information to people to save lives. We literally have to save lives. And I can't wait till I have my friend coming up who is going to be sharing on how he saved his mother's life, because it sure wasn't happening in the hospitals of British Columbia. No, his mom was not getting what she needed. She had COVID. He saved her life. He will be on. Part of that has to do with the good doctor that we're going to talk to today. If you want to know how to make yourself well, how to keep yourself well, we're going to be talking about that today. So would it be good to do the Dr. Cole thing first, the clip on Dr. Cole? Here's what we'll be talking about with Dr. David Grimes today. Now, he is in England, so I don't want to make him wait much longer, but I want to show you two short clips so that you kind of get a feel for doctors everywhere talking about this. Take a look.
Biggest lost message on this entire pandemic is vitamin D. There is no such thing, and if I can give one message to all of you for every winter and autumn for the rest of your lives, there is no such thing as flu and cold season. There is only low vitamin D season. Next, please. Vitamin D, every cell in your body, every nucleus has a receptor for vitamin D on it. 2,000 genes in your body are controlled by vitamin D. 5% of your body's genome controlled by vitamin D. It is the master key to your immune system, the master key. If one has a level in mid-range, you cannot develop a cytokine storm. Data shows what kills people? Cytokine storm. If you are in mid-level range, you will not die from COVID because you cannot get a cytokine storm. Next, please. All right, so we don't just have a viral pandemic, we have an international vitamin D deficiency pandemic, i.e. 70% of the world is immune suppressed. 70%, 70 to 80% of all Americans are immune suppressed because they are D deficient. 82 to 88% of nursing home patients are D deficient. Who's dying at the highest rate? Nursing home patients. 83% of African Americans, 70% of Latinos, 72% of Native Americans, 47% of Caucasians are insufficient, and 70% are deficient. And well, 47% are deficient. 70% of Caucasians are insufficient.
Okay, and here to break that down is Dr. David S. Grimes. One thing though, I would like to say is that our country is failing us. And our federal health minister said something so foolish and so ignorant that it's shocking. Now, I know she has a background in graphic artists. Should we bring him on and then show it to him? Okay. Dr. Grimes, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here. Thanks for waiting over there in England. You say it's a little bit cold today?
Cold by British standards, not cold perhaps by Canadian standards.
Yeah,
it is above freezing anyway.
It's above freezing. That's great. Okay, and you've got some sunshine coming in on your right side, but that's okay. You look fantastic. It's so good. Thank you for being here. Sir, I know that you know pretty much, I've read what you know about vitamin D, and you've been talking about it for a long time, and it's pretty fantastic. Before I do that, I want to set up for you how serious it is for us in Canada. We're desperate for your information because we have blazing, I shouldn't say it. Yeah, terrible, ignorant people at the top of our country. They are not helping us to get over COVID. They are hurting us. These are the people that are hired with huge paychecks that have no flipping clue of how important vitamin D is, not to mention that we are having trouble getting ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine given to anyone who's given a COVID-19 diagnosis. But I'd like to play this one last clip from you, and this is Derek Sloan. He's in it as well, right? Derek and our health minister.
Mr. Speaker, the health minister has previously questioned my concern for science, and today I return the favor. At least 75 recent studies have shown that optimal vitamin D levels significantly reduce susceptibility to COVID-19 and significantly improve health outcomes if people do get infected. It has been documented for decades that Canadians have suboptimal vitamin D levels, especially during winter. Can the minister explain why Health Canada's website states that most Canadians are getting enough vitamin D and doesn't actively recommend supplementing?
The Honourable Minister.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I would encourage the member opposite to not fall prey to the myriad of fake news articles that are circulating around the internet about ways that people can protect themselves from COVID, and trust that the Public Health Agency of Canada only puts science-based credible documents up, guided, of course, by our Chief Public Health Officer, Dr. Tam, and the many scientists that work for us. Mr. Speaker, what Canadians need now is trust, and they need to be able to trust in the information that their elected officials are sharing. And I would urge the member to get his sources from credible sites. Thank you.
It's absolutely staggering, Dr. Grimes, because this member of parliament, whose father is a doctor, was quoting 75 studies, not articles in the newspaper. This is not fake news. And so, sir, thank you for being here. How long have you been interested in vitamin D?
For about 30 years. I worked as a clinical consultant in a big hospital in Northwest England, And I was very concerned. It was quite a poor town. Why poor people were getting a lot of illness, dying younger than the people, and why ethnic Asian people, big population in the town, why they also had a very bad health profile and high death rates. And also, why Northwest England compared to the southeast of England? And after doing a lot of work on that, I realized that the key to it all is vitamin D. And that was my conclusion 30 years ago. And I've carried on working since then. And all I find is more and more evidence in support of the use of vitamin D and the correction of very widespread vitamin D deficiency. What you've just quoted was correct. 75 studies, proper studies. I have them all myself. And the factual comments made in the previous clip, they were factual. The politician said no facts whatsoever. Nothing factual in her statement. I'd love to see her debating the issue with the doctor who was giving the lecture in front of the board. There's been no public debate in this country, just like in Canada.
And it seems like worldwide this is being suppressed. You saw the doctor from the United States, you know, openly declaring that he's calling it literally a pandemic of vitamin D deficiency. Would you see it somewhat in the same manner?
That's absolutely true. If 100 people develop COVID-19 infection, and if then 10 of them die, and if it's found that the 10 who died were all seriously deficient in vitamin D, then what did they die from? Did they die from COVID-19 or did they die from serious vitamin D deficiency? If we want to protect people against COVID-19 and what we should have done in March of last year when the knowledge was already there, was to protect people by boosting vitamin D, by correcting the widespread vitamin D deficiency, which we heard about a few moments ago.
Are there not effects, we've read about effects of vitamin D apart from on the bones. You say that like vitamin D is very, very good for your bones.
Well, yeah, that was established a century ago. Ricketts in the new industrial towns with indoor work and heavy atmospheric pollution. The appearance of rickets, which could be corrected by fish oil or sunshine exposure. But it was also found even 100 years ago that vitamin D, it wasn't recognized then, but that sunshine and fish oils could correct and cure tuberculosis. And that was an immune effect. The word immunity wasn't known at that time, but this was way ahead of its time. And it's now known that vitamin D has a pivotal role in the escalation of immunity and also stopping the COVID, stopping the cytokine storm, as we've also just heard. These things have been known for 40 years.
Can you explain
nothing
that?
Nothing new.
Right. And that's very interesting to me. So the cytokine storm, that can you describe what that is and how vitamin D plays a role in preventing that?
Yeah. Well, if you get a sudden injury, a sudden infection, a sting from a nettle, for example, you get an immediate reaction. An immediate reaction is inflammation. And it's redness, it's heat, it's swelling, and it's pain. Those are the four features of inflammation. But they are only a temporary, immediate response. Then there has to be a targeted response. And if it is in fact an infection, then the immune system has to come into play to kill off the infection. That requires vitamin D to initiate the event. But it also has to cut out the cytokine storm, which is defensive for a few hours. But if it goes on and on, it builds up and up and up, and it causes serious inflammation within the body. And that has to be controlled. The inflammation is an immediate response that has to subside, and if it doesn't subside, well, and that's called the cytokine storm.
So why...
I can't put it any more clearly than that, I don't think.
Yes, no, that is very clear. And why do
it's
we
have...
It's actually
a very complicated process. It's a very, very complicated process. But we have to take word for it that the cytokine storm must be switched off, and that the inflammatory response must be curtailed, and the immune defense must then take over.
Right. Why are we having such a vitamin D deficiency? What is the cause and reason for that?
Well, let's take what happens is that when the sun acts on our skin, it converts an oil. We produce an oil in our skin, and it's called 7-DHC. And the sun converts it into vitamin D, which is then absorbed into the body. Now, you might be aware that older people, you know, 80 onwards, very close on that, the skin becomes dry and thin. You've noticed that in old, very old people. They do not produce the oil in their skin. You can sit them out in the sun for as long as you like, but they cannot produce vitamin D because they cannot produce the oil which the sun converts into vitamin D. Vitamin D deficiency is inevitable in the older people above the age of 80. It's absolutely inevitable. And they have to be protected by giving vitamin by mouth as a supplement. Nature perhaps only intended us to live for 70 years, 70. And if we live beyond 70, things start to go wrong. And one of the things that goes wrong is the skin deteriorates. And as the skin deteriorates, vitamin D is no longer produced.
Right.
Therefore, they are very vulnerable.
Right. So vitamin D then is basically something that we would get from the sun. But we have these little tablets that are also vitamin D. So how are we producing that?
Well, yeah, the tablet or the capsule, vitamin D is an oil. It's a simple oil. It's produced in all animals, and it has been produced in all animals for 1.5 billion years, believe it or not, starting with plankton in the sea. Still produced by plankton in the sea, and fish eat plankton, and we eat fish, and that's how we can get vitamin D from fish. Now, the oil in capsules, the vitamin D oil in capsules, no longer comes from fish oil. It comes from sheep's wool, because furry animals produce this oil, 7-DHC, in the skin, and it gets into the fur, and the sun shines on the animals, turns it into vitamin D, and the animals get their vitamin D by licking themselves. You've seen animals lick themselves. That's how they're taking vitamin D into the bodies. Sheep are the same. Now, what happens with sheep is that each summer they are sheared. All the wool is removed, and the wool contains an oil, and that oil contains vitamin D. So after they're all sheared, and this happens mainly in Australia and New Zealand, the fleece, the wool, is washed with a solvent, an oil solvent. It extracts, is then taken to China, where the oil is extracted from the solvent, vitamin D is concentrated, and is then put in the capsules, believe it or not. And so we get our vitamin D capsules, effectively, from the oil in sheep's wool. It's amazing.
Wow.
Most vitamin D that's produced actually goes into animal feed. We care more about animals, farm animals, than we care about humans. 85% of vitamin D that's produced in the world goes into animal feed, mainly into cattle, who spend most of the time indoors these days. And we get a little bit that's left over from the animal feed.
Right. And somehow that seems really wrong when suddenly we have the global pandemic and doctors such as yourself are actually saying that, something got hit here. Was that me, JT? Sorry. So suddenly we need this vitamin D, and apparently we're not being told that, for one thing. And then I've even seen shortages, like in some of our markets, to get vitamin D. There's sometimes, oh yeah, we don't have any. So all of it's going into the animals, apparently. It almost feels like, oh, maybe someone wants to depopulate the earth or something. And the very simple thing that we need to help us is not readily available, and or no one's telling us how important it is.
Yeah, I think basically not many people know how important it is. There's a huge ignorance, and the ignorance is at the government advisor level. And I find it incomprehensible. Is it, these are supposed to be the cleverest people in the country advising the government, and they don't know this about vitamin D. Are they ignorant, or are they just ignoring it deliberately? I don't like to think of conspiracies, but I think they're just ignorant. They just don't know. And they're just not learning from the pandemic. The amount we've learned about the importance of vitamin D deficiency in creating death from COVID-19 during the past year is staggering. But that information, that learning, has never taken place at the high levels. Saying that in the general population, there is an increasing awareness of vitamin D. I collected my granddaughter from school this afternoon, and on the back of one of the buses was an advertisement: take vitamin D for your immunity. And I've seen it on the London Underground as well. So the word is getting around, and my local pharmacy tells me they never sell so much vitamin D ever as they've been selling in the past year. So the word is getting around, and it's getting around through social media. It's not getting around from government advice, only from social media. Now, we have a committee. It's called the Standing Group for Emergencies. It's supposed to prepare the country for emergencies, of which we've got one this year. It's called SAGE. And they said there is no evidence to support the idea that vitamin D is of any importance in the deaths of Black African and South Asian ethnic people. To say that is a disgrace, because we do know, we've heard the information from the clip that you showed a few moments ago. But let me give you what I think is the most important example of all in this country. Between the 23rd of May and the 2nd of May last year, 20 working doctors in the UK died from COVID-19. I've got all the names, I've got photographs of them all from the various press releases. Now, of those 25, 24 were either Black African or South Asian ethnicity. 24 out of 25. Now, that's 96% who died had what we would call a melanin-rich skin. 4%, one, had a white skin. Now, don't tell me that that was anything to do with poverty or social disadvantage or poor housing or anything like that. The only explanation can be the colour of the skin. Now, we know very well that people with dark skin are not dying in the in tropical Africa, where death rates are very, very low. In the UK, we have had we've had about 1,800 deaths per million. In Tanzania, for example, in Africa, it's about 8 deaths per million. In India, it's about 160 deaths per million. We've had 10 times more deaths per million in England, in the UK, than in India. But when you look at the Indian ethnic people, or the African ethnic people in England, they have a 50% higher death rate than the national average. It's a disgrace, and we know it's due to vitamin D deficiency. I mean, those 24 deaths of Asian and African ethnic people. Right. And it's just not been acknowledged officially.
You know,
not to acknowledge it is racism.
Right. That's what they say. And this stops the conversation, you know? And right here in our province of British Columbia, one of the highest, areas of cases is in an area where there's an East Indian population. And, you know, everyone should be getting vitamin D nonstop. And, you know, and this is perhaps why people, ethnic minorities are sometimes more vulnerable, right, to this. So we need to acknowledge that that's just a biological fact. This has nothing to do with racism, but the current climate in the world just sort of demonizes sometimes people who are telling the, you know, just scientific facts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's racism to ignore the scientific facts, quite honestly.
Yes.
But we know, whereas the elderly cannot produce vitamin D in the skin, people with a dark skin also can't, because melanin in the skin it blocks 80% of the ultraviolet light coming into the skin and prevents vitamin D production. It's as simple as that. And it's been known for 50 years more that people of Asian ethnicity and Black African ethnicity living in the UK are very much at risk of vitamin D deficiency. It's well known, but we're not acting upon it. We're just watching them die and counting the deaths. And it's just a disgrace. What I would say is, what is the harm in giving vitamin D to these people? What harm will it do? And I can't think of an answer. And they say, well, what good would it do to give them vitamin D? And the answer is to reduce the risk of death. So there's no argument not to give vitamin D. There's no reason not to. But we get our National Institute for Clinical Excellence saying there is not enough evidence to promote vitamin D in this country at the present time. We've just heard of 75 papers coming through recently. There is not enough evidence. How much evidence do we need? Do we weigh it by the ton, or the height of the volume of papers, or the number of bits of data? How do we measure enough? When is enough enough? Enough, to my mind, is when to make the decision, what is the harm in giving vitamin D? And there isn't any.
Oh, you know, I just thank you so much. Literally, what you're speaking about right now, Dr. Grimes, is saving lives. Somebody, and thousands of people watch my broadcasts, and if they would understand, get down to the store and get that vitamin D, eat more fish, I guess. We have terrific salmon in parts of Canada, all kinds of things. And I guess, would you say being out in the sunshine would also be a very good thing?
Being out in the sunshine, if you have a pale skin, and you're young, yes, no question. If you're old, you must take vitamin D. If you take fish, you've got to have a lot of it, three times a day. Fish three times a day, oily fish, three times a day. That's what's required. It can be done, but not many people will eat fish three times a day.
That's
it's far
a lot
better
of fish.
To rely on cheap on the vitamin D. It is indeed, absolutely right, yeah.
So we could attain it from our food, but yes, and the vitamins.
Yeah, we can. But we've got to get a decent amount. And what we should be aiming at, you know, if somebody has diabetes, they're not told, oh, take this insulin and go away. We check on the effect of the insulin. We check the blood sugars and things like that, the HbA1c. We monitor how well they're doing. And that's what we should be doing with vitamin D. We should check people's blood level of vitamin D. It's easily done and it's cheap. We should check the blood level, give them appropriate dose, and make sure the dose is appropriate by checking the blood level subsequently. We should be monitoring the vitamin D levels. And the time to start, really, with vitamin D testing is in pregnancy. No child should be born vitamin D deficient. Every mother should have a blood vitamin D level checked. Every expectant mother should have a blood vitamin D level checked. And if it's low, she should be supplemented with vitamin D to make sure the baby is born with adequate vitamin D levels. This is vitally important starting point for the total future.
What about excesses in vitamin D? It strikes me that, you know, sometimes if you take too much of a good thing, what do you have to say about that?
Okay. This happens, as this has happened very, very rarely with vitamin D. Now, we've had over 4 million cases of vitamin D in the, of COVID-19 in the UK. 4 million cases of COVID-19. I bet we haven't had a single case of vitamin D overdose, intoxication. Now, I'll tell you how it comes about. Vitamin D is measured mainly in units, and one unit is defined as the requirement of a 10-gram mouse. That's how it was measured 100 years ago. They couldn't measure it chemically, physically. It's just an assay, what is required by a 10-gram mouse, and that is defined as one unit. We now know that one unit is 25 billionths of a gram. Very, very tiny amount. Now, if we multiply that up to, say, a 60-kilogram human, it means we should be taking about 6,000 units a day. Okay, some people say that's right. Let's go down to 3,000, which is what I take, actually 3,000 a day, which is half the equivalent of a dose of a mouse. Now, units are a little bit old fashioned now. We can measure it. And 4,000 units, isn't it? We now know is 100 micrograms. Now, 100 micrograms, not many people know about micrograms, millionths of a gram. Only know about them in science. A millionth of a gram is too small to be seen. So 100 micrograms, and people often assume it's milligrams. And I've seen this in our national newspapers. We should be taking 400 milligrams. 400 milligrams is not 4,000 units, it's 4 million units. And that's how the errors come about. People take 4 million units instead of 4,000 units because they don't know the difference between micrograms and milligrams. So I say stick to units, then we know where we're up to. And think of the mouse, a 10-gram mouse. It requires one unit a day, and work up from there.
Okay, yes, so getting that right, that could be a bit confusing for some people, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, that's very good to know. Can vitamin, if we don't get enough sunshine, we don't like fish, can we get all of our vitamin D, do you think, from just taking a good supplement?
Yes, no question, yeah. My blood level of vitamin D is optimal all the year round. Now, if we rely on the sun, we find it's fine in the summer, and as the broadcast word earlier said, we have a vitamin D deficient season and we have a vitamin D production season. And during the summer, we're much healthier. Why we're healthier? Because the sun is out. We've got the summer. It all is about the sun. And then in the wintertime, the sun disappears. We stop producing vitamin D during the wintertime and we become ill again. So that's when we need to take the supplement by mouth. Some of us can go and live in the southern hemisphere for the winter, go to Australia, for example, or go down towards as close as we can get to the equator. But for most of us, we have to stay at home, and therefore we should be taking the vitamin supplement during the winter at least. I take it all the year round. Now, you cannot get an overdose of vitamin D from the sun, because as the blood circulates through the skin, any excess vitamin D in the blood and in the skin is destroyed by the sun. So the sun has a control system over adequacy of avoiding too much vitamin D.
Wow.
It's all very clever. It's brilliant.
So if you could just say that again, the sun will automatically sort of... control the right amount.
Yeah. It will destroy an excess of vitamin D. As long as the sun is, as long as the sun is strong enough, that means just during the summer. Yeah.
Wow. Aren't we fearfully and wonderfully made? I mean, aren't we just like, the way that everything works together as a doctor, you must be sort of amazed at how it all comes about.
It is. And even again with vitamin D, to be used in the cells, it has to be activated to what's called 125 vitamin D. And a molecule of 125 vitamin D, and that is the one that switches off the cytokine storm and switches on the immune response, the 125 vitamin D, each molecule can be used only once, and then it's deactivated. If it otherwise, it would just build up in the body and cause serious problems. That's a brilliant system. Use that molecule only once, and then it's deactivated. So we need a constant supply of it coming through from the blood. That's why we need a good blood level of vitamin D at a time of critical infection, when we need that escalation. The escalation of the immune response depends on a good supply of vitamin D in the blood. If we don't have it, as we heard before, we're likely to die.
Wow.
And people die because they don't have it. They die from COVID-19 because they don't have enough vitamin D reserve in the blood.
Wow.
That's the way it is.
I mean, this is absolutely phenomenal. So, Dr. Grimes, in closing, where do we go the next steps of vitamin D? What do you want to leave us all with? I mean, I don't know almost what more you could add to what you've said, except that we're pretty upset with having to get information as important as this. Why is that other doctor not on the podiums with the health officials of every country touting this, ensuring that everybody has this? Instead, we're promoting a vaccine for a 99.7% recovery rate virus. Even on children, they're now starting to say that we're going to be giving vaccines, rolling them out for children, when children are not affected by it. And what we all really need is vitamin D. That's it. Vitamin D will really, really severely reduce. So give us your final words on this whole chaotic mess.
Well, the way in which the silence of vitamin D by government and government advisors is frightening. Medical journals have also been silent on the issue, and I don't know why, but it appears that the government narrative has to be followed. The government narrative is lockdown and vaccines. Vitamin D is not part of the government narrative, and therefore there is silence about it. Everybody has to follow the government narrative. There is, as I say, social media narrative promoting vitamin D in a big way, and that is working, no question. And people like myself have got to keep on with the story of vitamin D. And hopefully, later in the year, it will all become much more visible and the volume will be turned up. And I don't think the government can continue with its complete silence of the vitamin D narrative. I don't think it can do that. There's just so much evidence. And somehow, it's got to come out. And we've all got to just do our best.
Well, I thank you so much for doing your part, and you are a hero in our land, in our great world. I thank you for your voice, your experience, and the courage it takes to speak out. I appreciate that you're doing that, because some of the doctors that we have interviewed, some of the doctors that we see come out, then they get silenced. They have repercussions, and you know, it really is a very odd silencing of true physicians and those that are experts in this. And so your information, it's life-saving. I really do pray today, Dr. Grimes, that there are those listening right now, and on their to-do list today will be to get down to that drugstore in your neighborhood and get some good vitamin D. And do you think that all vitamin Ds are the same, or is there one final question? Do you recommend anything above the other?
No, I think they're all the same. They all come from the big factory in China, or more factories in China, and from the sheep in Australia and New Zealand. Incidentally, in the capsule, it's nearly all olive oil, with the tiny, tiny little bit of vitamin D, which is, as I say, tiny amounts. One unit is 25 billionths of a gram, incomprehensibly small.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. This has been fantastic, sir. I'm so grateful to you. Thank you very much for, you know, setting aside some of your family duties that you have going on and some of the busyness of life to come and share this information with us. It's truly, truly been a pleasure and an honor. Thank you for joining us today.
The pleasure and honor are mine entirely. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Grimes. Oh, man. That's good info, right, everyone? You know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm going to look that up. I just, as he was talking and I was thinking about, you know, the human body and how absolutely fantastic it is. Like, the way that we heal ourselves sometimes. You ever get a cut and you see that as long as you don't get infection in there, how that skin just heals itself up. It's the same thing in our animals, you know. Our dog had pink eye, so we put like human pink eye medication into that dog, and we put polysporin when it gets a little cut. And amazing things that we have for the way to help our bodies to heal. And if we all understood that we have a vitamin D deficiency pandemic, get your vitamin D. Take good care of your loved ones by ensuring that my father, I make sure he's taking a lot of stuff right now and he's complaining about all these pills. But I said, but it's good for you, Dad. It's good. And vitamin D is in his little capsule full of wonderfulness. Are you taking your vitamin D right now? My husband reached over to a little container, you know, sitting on his desk, and oh, that's B12, and that's good for you too, right? We should have someone on about B12. Psalms 139:14. Can I leave you with this? My website is lauralyn.tv. As we said, if you ever don't see me here, go there. If any of you want to support the good work that we do in bringing the truth, that would be super wonderful. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your help. Some of you can help with a little. Some of you can help with more. We give out income tax receipts to everybody who can donate. And that's always nice at tax time. And so 139:14, let me read this to you. Thank you and God bless you. Have a terrific weekend. I'm hoping that I'll be coming to you and giving you some updates from Regina and Saskatoon. May God be with us. May his protection and his power be our portion. Psalms 139 verse 1 says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." Oh, think of how much God loves us to just be familiar with whether we're lying down. You think you're just having a nap? No, God's like, oh, there's my boy, he's having a nap. There's my girl. She's laying down. Isn't she cute? Do you ever look at your kids, right, when they're sleeping, when they're little? I used to, and I'd go, oh, man. Well, first of all, you appreciate a quiet moment. And then you go, oh, look at that kid. Oh, aren't they beautiful? I did that with my kids. God knows us intimately. He knows when we rise and when we fall. He knows where we are. He knows each and every one of our thoughts. Listen to this. "Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" Well, if you've ever tried to run away from God, you know you can't. He sees you. He's got this. And he wants you to turn to him. Why would we ever run from God? Why would we ever do that? "If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. God sees in the dark, you know that, right? The night will shine like the day. The darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Wow. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. We are fearfully, wonderfully made, and apparently we need vitamin D. Make sure you go and get yours today. Protect your body. I love being here with you. Thank you for being here with me. We'll see you soon. You know, it's not easy to deliver the truth of what our sick world is doing, but for some of us, we feel that we have no choice. Because if we are silent about these abominable things, then we are letting evil go unchecked, and we cannot do that. For those of you wonderful people who are writing me and are sharing your encouragement, I am deeply grateful. Thank you for all the letters that you've been sending. Thank you for the donations and the support. I found out that in order to speak the truth, you have to become very, very strong. If you would go to my website at www.lauralyn.tv, you'll find all of the ways that you can contact me. Remember, my friends, all is well. All is well. Thanks for joining me.